The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On Inside Hollywood this week, we are looking at Christmas movies. Let's have a sample of this one.
Bunny rabbit.
Unmistakably the sound of gremlins. Great dialogue there.
Sorry, I had to pick that clip. There were so many other ones. I just think it's going to make people laugh today. Gremlins 1984. Excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse today. But the topic is the most controversial Christmas movies and the scandals and secrets behind the scenes. So, you know, Christmas movies are supposed to fill us with warmth and joy, but some of these classics have stirred up, you know, plenty of drama.
So what was wrong with Gremlins?
Well, it was controversial because it was marketed as a family-friendly Christmas movie, but it actually features very dark humour, as we know, shocking violence. Does everyone remember the blender scene in the kitchen? And its kind of gruesome scenes led to the creation of the PG-13 rating in the US. So parents complained non-stop when the movie was released and that it was too scary for kids. Now, I'm not giving my age away, but I mean, I was only 6 when this came out. And I remember my father sneaking me in to it later on when it was re-shown a couple of years later. And I ran out. I was so scared because it basically scared children to death.
Yeah, but so, kids love being scared.
They do. But I suppose you go there with Christmas and you think it's going to be happy, funny, you know, Santa Claus, reindeers, raindrops and snowmen, and that is anything but. And of course, behind the scenes, there's all the drama. Steven Spielberg had to fight studio execs to keep the film's edgier tone, because I suppose when the execs saw it and they saw these crazy looking, horrible, very kind of evil, nasty little gremlins, they said, no way, we're not putting this out for kids. So there you go. That was part of it.
Now, we want to play a clip from Love Actually now, because this is interesting on many levels.
Christmas is a time for people with someone they love in their lives.
And that's not you?
That's not me, Michael. When I was young and successful, I was greedy and foolish, and now I'm left with no one, wrinkled and alone.
Wow. Thanks for that, Bill.
For what?
Well, for actually giving a real answer to a question. It doesn't often happen here at Radio Watford, I can tell you.
Ask me anything you like, I'll tell you the truth.
The best shag you ever had?
Britney Spears.
Wow.
No, only kidding. She was rubbish.
Okay, here's one. How do you think the new record compares to your old classic stuff?
Oh, come on, Mikey. You know as well as I do, the record's crap. But wouldn't it be great if number one this Christmas wasn't some smug teenager, but an old ex-heroin addict searching for a comeback at any price? All those young popsters come Christmas Day, they'll be stretched out naked with a cute bird balancing on their balls. And I'll be stuck in some dingy flat with my manager, Joe, ugliest man in the world. F***ing miserable because our f***ing gamble didn't pay off. So if you believe in Father Christmas, children, like your Uncle Billy does, buy my festering turd of a record.
The great Bill Nye. Yeah. Fantastic performance.
Fantastic. There we have it. You know, 2003, a little bit controversial. That's not what you would hear. And I wanted to pick that clip, so it obviously very much states my point that, you know, it's a feel-good romantic comedy. But I mean, to have this particular strand going through of Bill Nye, the aging kind of rocker, he's a bit like, he reminds me of Keith Richards. I suppose he kind of based a little bit on that. But the criticism that came with that was the portrayal of the relationships, because people thought it was very problematic. People thought that some of the storylines were outdated. And, you know, people think, well, how many storylines were there? There was actually 10 romantic storylines. And I think even, you know, the scene where Mark confesses his love to Juliet, the best friend's wife, that sparked lots of debate about, was that romantically right? I mean, the boundaries in that. And then very much the LGBTQ community were very much saying there was no representation of us there in the film. With 10 romantic stories, we were left out. Very much, you know, lacking in diversity and inclusion. But there you have it. So it got a lot of flack.
Never stopped
the
movie being a massive hit and much enjoyed every year.
Massive hit. I mean, we all know that Billy Mackey's the washed up rock star. Very, very funny indeed. But yeah, people still love it. So there you have it. Mm.
All right. This one is called Die Hard. Is it a Christmas movie or is it not?
You know my name, but who are you?
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another
orphan of a bankrupt culture who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
I was always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually. I really like those sequined shirts.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, well, I think, you know, Die Hard, we're bringing ourselves back to 1988 here. It is controversial for the reasons that the debate about whether this is actually a Christmas movie or not has been raging for decades because it's an action flick.
It's an action flick. And Alan Rickman, so sinister there. The late Alan Rickman. Fantastic.
I mean, he's fantastic. He's such a good villain. And I know even, you know, I've cousins and my own husband as well. I mean, this is a go-to staple every year. You know, they're like, I do not start Christmas without watching Die Hard. Many of us love Home Alone or Elf or, you know, others, Scrooged, but Die Hard seems to be the one that's out there. And, it, you know, it does capture the holiday spirit in its own way, even though there's violence and very strong language. It kind of polarised for many different reasons that holiday choice for people to go and watch it every year. But behind the scenes drama, Bruce Willis was not actually the first choice for the role of John McClane. It was actually Frank Sinatra.
No.
I swear it was. He was actually offered the role but couldn't do it because of a prior contract. And Alan Rickman injured his knee during the filming of the dramatic fall, that dramatic fall where the director actually allowed him fall from a height. And that's why you get that complete look of terror on his face and tension. But, you know, there's many elements in it where the holiday song in the credits roll, it says, "Let it snow." And, you know, there's sweatshirts with ho, ho, ho on them.
Well, it's definitely watched as a Christmas movie.
It is indeed.
Because it's become the habit, you know, a nice Christmas tradition. Now, I want to move on to Tom Hanks in The Polar Express, which is an animation. Let's have a clip and then you can tell me why it was controversial.
I will indeed.
There is something about his knowledge about Santa that says he can't be a roly-poly fat guy that comes down the chimney.
The true spirit of Christmas lies in your heart.
He has to lift that huge bag of presents. He's got to be 7 feet tall. He's got to, you know, muscle those reindeer around the world in one night. He's got to be a stronger, bigger man than that. So it all made logical sense for me to play five roles instead of just the one.
Seeing is believing.
The actual technology made it possible right off the bat. So with Bob knowing that, he said, look, are we really going to try to do this world casting session in order to try to find the perfect kid who 3 months prior to the movie is perfect, but then ages 3 months by the time we get to actually shoot the movie no longer looks like he looked like? So he knew right off the bat that we can put adults in the roles of the kids and make them look like kids, and all they have to do is act like kids.
Those lights in the distance, they look like the lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea. There is the North Pole.
So, I controversially have never seen The Polar Express in full. I've watched segments of it for very good reason, because obviously the movie, it's groundbreaking in its motion capture animation, but it faced criticism because many viewers called it creepy and soulless. Tom Hanks there in that clip that I tried to demonstrate with some pieces from the movie, he plays six roles. Robert Zemeckis, who directed the film, who we all love and know from Back to the Future, an amazing director, I don't know why he put Tom in so many different roles. Tom's trying to explain it there in the clip, but actually it left very little room, because all the money was given to Tom Hanks because he played six roles, for post-production edits, leading to kind of all these rushed scenes. I just don't feel it. It divided audiences.
Don't forget,
lacked magic.
Peter Sellers in Doctor Strangelove played, I think, four roles.
That's right.
All of them brilliantly.
But I suppose ultimately he didn't eat up and gobble up all the budget, which Tom Hanks did. But many people really love or don't love this movie. I mean, the love or loathe. It's like Marmite. I think some people found it very unsettling, but it's rolled out every Christmas and yeah, it wins in many ways.
Some of the suggestions of great Christmas movies. Trading Places is my pick, says one listener. Absolutely brilliant. Another one which I haven't seen, Christmas with the Coopers. I've seen Christmas with the Cranks. The Coopers.
Yeah.
It seems like a big family gets together and it all ends up in a total mess.
I'm sure there's a turkey and some mistletoe
involved.
Which is
art mimicking life, I suspect. All right, Lisa, look, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Lisa Cannon, podcaster and cultural commentator, Inside Hollywood.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.